Well, it would be my joy if you would join me in Acts chapter 16. Isn't it good on Resurrection Sunday to hear a resurrection story that Jesus is still in the business of saving sinners, of raising us from death to life? And here's the good news this morning. The good news is that Jesus right now is risen and reigning in heaven. And not just that, but the good news is that Jesus is risen and he is reigning among us today. He is here with us that we might know him, that we might treasure him and find joy in him. That's exactly what we find here in the story of Paul and Silas in a prison cell, still rejoicing in Jesus. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 25. It says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their sins. And he was baptized at once, he and his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for all sinners who would believe. And Lord, it's not just the power of God for salvation for sinners, but Lord, it is the joy. It is the joy of all peoples, Lord, who find their hope, who find their trust, who find their treasure in Jesus and Jesus alone. So this morning, Lord, I ask that this simple prayer, Lord, that you would give everyone in here simple faith in Jesus. Simple faith in Jesus that overflows in real lasting joy in him. We pray this in Jesus' name alone, for his glory and our joy. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, would the Lord ever ask you to do something that you don't have the ability to do? Would the Lord ever call on you to do something that you were not able to do? It's not really a trick question. Jesus would never command you to do anything that you can't do or that he can't help you to do. The commands of the Bible aren't just filler for the Christian life. No, the commands in Scripture, they are to be read. They are to be meditated on. They're to be obeyed. They're even to be delighted in. So what happens in our hearts when we turn the pages of the Bible to Philippians 4:4 and we read this command? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. I mean, sure, any of us can experience some momentary happiness when things go well, right? We can rejoice when the doctor's tests, they come back good, when everything goes well in the delivery room for our baby. We can sing when the boss comes in and he offers us the promotion that we've been longing for. It's easy to thank God when our team wins, when we win the award, when we win the moment. I mean, those things are easy, right? But what about this Philippians 4 joy? What about this always joy? This ever-present, never-ceasing joy that the Bible calls us to have. Does that sound crazy to you? I mean, if you've walked in my shoes, if you've lived at my house, if you spent time in my kitchen, you know that this sounds impossible. This sounds like a pipe dream. But listen, one pastor says, if you only experience joy on your best days, you have not tasted the best joy. If you've only tasted joy on your best days, you have not tasted the best joy. If you've never rejoiced in the middle of a fight with cancer because Jesus' joy and his peace is uniquely with you, or if you've never sang even when a relationship ends because Jesus says he never leaves nor forsakes you, if you've never thanked him when you've lost or when others left, when you feel really weak, then maybe today you've missed some of the best joys. The call for all of us this morning is to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And this is not a burden that is too great for you to bear. It's not a command too hard for you to keep. This is a glorious invitation for the Christian life that's tied to the resurrection of Jesus. Our joy is not tied to our ever-changing circumstances. Our joy is tied to the never-changing Christ. This always joy, this ever-present, never-ceasing joy for the Christian is tied to the risen Christ who is always alive. This is joy that Paul not only understood theologically, he didn't just understand it mentally. No, Paul understood this truth, this joy, through experience. I mean, this is joy. This is the joy that Paul experienced here in Acts chapter 16 in a prison cell. Paul had just been preaching there in Philippi, and this slave girl comes to faith in Jesus, and it turns the city upside down because people start losing money. And they throw Paul in prison to keep him quiet. They throw Paul in prison to keep him from preaching Jesus. And the authorities for a second thought they could silence Paul. But they could not silence his praying. And they could not silence his singing. They could not silence his rejoicing. They couldn't. Why? Because Paul knew that Jesus is still alive. Jesus, in that moment, in that prison cell, when life feels like it's falling apart, he knew that Jesus is still reigning on his throne. And this morning, on this resurrection morning, I want to invite every single person in here into this resurrection joy. I want you to invite you to experience this always joy in the risen Christ who is alive forevermore. There's two truths I want us to look at from Acts 16. And one truth we'll look at from looking at Paul and Silas, and the other one we'll see by looking at the jailer. The first thing, looking at Paul and Silas, I want us to see is that your joy in Jesus is a witness to the worth of Jesus. Your joy in Jesus is a witness to the worth of Jesus. Remember, our story begins with Paul and Silas in a prison cell in Philippi. They're not at the Dove Awards accepting an award. They're not at a convention accepting a plaque for their years of fruitful ministry. They're not feasting with the other disciples at the Olive Garden because of all the ministry success they just had. No, they're awake at midnight in a prison cell. They're awake at midnight with this always joy, praying, it says, and singing hymns to God. They're praying to their sovereign king, who they know is still in control of all things, even in control of them sitting in a prison cell. They're singing hymns to the risen Savior, who they still worship and adore, even in the midst of their suffering. I love what Marshall Siegel says. He says, "Never settle for a Savior who cannot satisfy you in a prison cell. Never settle for a Savior who cannot satisfy you in a prison cell." At midnight, Paul and Silas, they're turning this prison cell into a praise and worship service. Let's be honest. Sadly, we can't even go to a family reunion without grumbling or complaining sometimes, right? We can't sit in an air-conditioned cubicle with nice breaks or clean a bathtub or go to a class without whining sometimes. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is risen and reigning today. Never to return to the grave ever again. So we have every reason in this moment to rejoice. Well, Pastor, you don't really know what I'm going through. Pastor, if you knew the circumstances that I was in right now, if you knew what was going on in my personal life, it's really hard for me to rejoice. Let's not forget what just happened to Paul and Silas. Verse 22 says, "The crowds joined in attacking them, and the magistrates, they tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many, many blows upon them, they threw them in prison." So I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but picture what's happening here. Here they are at midnight, and they're not sleeping. They're not even grumbling or complaining. They're not crying out, "God, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why have you forgotten us?" They're not groaning because of their open wounds or their lacerated back that's probably dripping blood. No, the Bible says they are praying to the Lord who reigns. They're singing to a Savior who is still alive. Notice what the rest of the prison is doing in verse 25. It says they're praying and they're singing hymns to God, but then it says the other prisoners are listening to them. This passage is saying that their prayers and praise had an impact on everyone around them. The other prisoners could not tune them out. They could not help but hear, and not just hear, but the passage is saying they were moved by their worship and their praise. The other prisoners could not ignore their great joy and faith in the midst of their great suffering. Church, we have to get this. Our worship, our joy is a witness to the watching world. It's not happiness just when things are going good. Not just gladness when everything's going your way. Listen, the world around you celebrates when their team wins. The world around you celebrates when they're feeling healthy. The world around you celebrates when life is good. But listen, it's joy in the prison cells. It's joy in the operating room. It's joy in the courtroom. It's joy in the break room. It's joy at the funeral home. When things are not going like you planned. When life isn't working out the way you have been praying for. Listen, there are people in this room right now that in the world's eyes, they should be devastated. They should be devastated. They should want to give up. But the Holy Spirit keeps stirring resurrection joy in Jesus. And this joy, brother, sister, your joy is contagious to a watching world that's questioning Jesus. You've probably heard me say it before, but I really believe that joy is the secret weapon of the church today. Your joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of cancer, in the midst of losing a child, in the midst of cultural chaos all around you, in the midst of you being alone, your joy makes the gospel plausible. Your joy makes Jesus beautiful as you display his worth. Our joy makes people stop and stare at Jesus. Our songs, when we're suffering, make people stop and listen. So how are we as a church gonna make Jesus unignorable in our city? It's not gonna be because of our music. It's not going to be because of our great programs. It's not going to be anything other than joy in our risen Savior. Joy in Jesus. And look what happens as they're rejoicing, as they're praying, as they're singing. It says in the passage that God moves in the midst of their prayers and praise in verse 26. God answers their prayers by causing a great earthquake that shakes the prison walls. And all the doors fly open, all their chains fall off, and all of them could walk free. You know, as I'm reading this week, I'm asking myself this week, would God have moved if they were grumbling and complaining? Would God have moved if they were grumbling and complaining? Or does God move in the midst of their prayers and their praise, or their rejoicing even in the midst of suffering? That their joy shakes the heavens. Their joy shakes the prison cells. Brothers and sisters, your joy in Jesus is a witness that Jesus is worth it. But second, let's look at the jailer. Let's turn our eyes away from Paul and Silas for a moment, and let's second and finally look at the jailer, because we see there that your faith in Jesus alone is enough to have joy in Jesus. Your faith in Jesus alone is enough to have joy in Jesus. The prison guard wakes up and he sees the prison doors flung open, and he thinks, I am doomed. I am in trouble. He thinks the prison has now emptied, and he is so scared that the Bible says that he raises up his sword in verse 27, and he was about to thrust it through his heart when all of a sudden he hears Paul shouting in verse 28, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. In that moment, he remembers that voice. He remembers that voice at midnight. He remembers their prayers. He remembers their songs. He remembers he heard their joy ringing throughout the jail cell. And so he runs into the cell and he falls down in fear. And he asks the most important question that anyone could ever ask. It's the most important question that anybody in the world could ask today. It's the most important question that anybody in here can ask today. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do for me, a sinner, to be forgiven of all my sins? What must I do to have a heart that sings like you in the midst of great sorrows? How do I get that kind of heart? How does my heart get filled with that kind of song in the midst of my sorrows? Now notice in verse 30 that they don't tell the Philippian jailer to do anything. They don't tell him to do anything. They don't say, well, first you must go to the temple. First you need to start going to church. First you must be a good person. You need do some more good things, give some more offering. But first, you must be a nicer guy. You must read your Bible. You must even be baptized. No, he asks, what must I do to be saved? And they say, nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is simply believe. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's all you have to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Put all your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ and Christ alone. Trust not in anything that you do. Trust not in anything you do. Trust in what Jesus has done for you. He said, look away from yourself. Oh, we spend so much time looking at ourselves. Are we good enough? Instead, he says, look away from you and look at Jesus who lived a perfect life that you never lived. And look at Jesus who went to a cross to bear all your sins that you deserved to die for. And look at Jesus who on the third day rose again in victory so you could have victory over sin and death forever. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. It's simple. All it takes is simple faith. But don't miss this. The emphasis is not really on the faith. The weight of the verse is not on the belief. The emphasis, the focus is on the object of faith, Jesus Christ. This is so important. Listen, this is so freeing if you get this. Be careful that you're not putting faith in faith. It's really important. Be careful that you're not putting your faith in your faith. Because listen, it's not the intensity of your faith that saves you. It's not the clarity of your faith that saves you. It's not the strength of your faith that saves you. It's the object of your faith that saves you. Maybe you hear people like me all the time who say things like this. I don't know if I have enough faith. I don't know if I believe enough. I don't know if my faith is strong enough. My faith feels really weak. My faith feels really fragile right now in this moment. My faith is not as strong as hers, or my faith is not as strong as that Christian. Listen, the hope of your salvation is not that you have enough faith. The hope of your salvation is that you have enough Jesus. And Jesus is always enough for every sinner who will turn from their sins and trust in Jesus. Friend, you don't need strong faith to be saved. You just need a strong Christ. You don't have to have strong faith. You just need a strong Savior in Jesus who is more than enough. If you're here today and you're not in Christ, don't look at yourself. Look away from yourself because Jesus is enough for all your sins. Tim Keller says, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. If you're falling from a cliff, strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. I'll say it again so you can get it. Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. I was talking to a college student just the other day, and she was telling me her resurrection story. She was telling me how God had opened her eyes to believe in Jesus Christ. And she said to me, you know what? It was so freeing when I realized that there was nothing I can do. Jesus has already done it. That might be the most freeing thing that you've ever heard in your life today. The most freeing thing that you've ever heard. It's freeing that there is absolutely nothing you can do, but Jesus has already done it for you. Jesus has already done it at the cross and in his resurrection. So that's the simple invitation for you today if you're not a believer in Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Nothing you can do, Jesus has already done it for you on the cross. There's nothing you have to do. Jesus has already done it on the cross. So right now, in this moment, fall on Jesus. Like literally, with your heart, with all that you are, collapse on Jesus Christ. Collapse all your hope, all your faith on Jesus. Bring your nothing to Jesus, and he will be happy to save you. Bring your nothing to Jesus and he will be happy to save you. But look at what happens next. Paul and Silas, they share this good news with the whole house. With the whole house in verse 32. And they all come to believe in Jesus. That they all are baptized at once. They all are eating together and celebrating together. I'd love to see that video, the whole family, the whole resurrection story of all of them believing in Jesus. And it's crazy when you think about it because, I mean, they were singing at midnight, right? And all this is happening on the same night. So it's like 2 a.m. in the morning. 2 a.m. in the morning, and they're all experiencing the grace of Jesus. What a night that they could all, that Paul and Silas could be washed of all their wounds and he could be washed of all his sins. I love how the night ends that night or the early morning. In verse 34, it says this, then he brought them into his house and set food before them, meaning Paul and Silas. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. The whole house is filled with joy because they had met Jesus. I wonder if this is one of those nights where he couldn't fall asleep because of joy. You ever had one of those nights? One of those nights where you're just wide awake because of joy, where you're just lying in bed and you're looking at the ceiling fan all night long, and maybe your team won the game that night, or maybe you just got engaged and you can't believe it, or maybe you have a wonderful birthday. I don't know what it was, but just think of yourself there on that night. Think of yourself. Put yourself there. What joy that you feel in those moments. And then I imagine the jailer sitting there on that night, looking up at the ceiling, thinking, all my sins are forgiven. It's nothing I have done. It's all because of Jesus. It's nothing I've done, all because of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there is no greater joy than that. There is no greater joy than that. And so listen, today, this is the invitation on this Easter for everyone in the room, no matter if you're a believer or you're an unbeliever. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, every single night you can go to bed saying, all my sins are forgiven. It's nothing I have done. It's all because of Jesus. We can go to bed every single night in joy because of all we've been given in Jesus. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. But rest daily in Jesus alone for your joy. For your always joy. For your ever-present, never-ceasing joy, rest in Jesus alone. Brothers and sisters, we don't need anything added to Jesus to have joy in Jesus. You don't need anything else in your life other than Jesus to have joy in Him. We get this, don't we, when we first come to faith in Jesus. When we first come to faith in Jesus, and at the very beginning, we have joy in Jesus alone, but we soon forget it as we grow as Christians. We soon get away from this Christ alone, Jesus alone, always joy, the older we get in our faith. And we forget that it's Jesus plus nothing that equals joy. Jesus plus nothing else that equals joy. We don't have to add our prayers to Jesus to get joy. We don't have to stay up on our Bible reading and add to Jesus to find joy. Jesus is more than enough by himself. We don't have to add our religious performance or our overbusy lives for joy. Jesus is enough. We don't have to add our obedience or our strong faith or our self-righteousness for joy. No, Jesus' perfect death and perfect life is enough to give you joy. On our best days, on our worst days, even in a prison cell, we can go to bed with joy because we have Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Listen, there is nothing that should rob you of this joy. I really believe that. There is nothing that should rob us of this joy. Sitting in a prison cell should not rob you of this joy. It didn't rob Paul of this joy. Receiving dialysis or a chemo treatment could not rob you of this joy. Losing a loved one, losing a friend, having to be driven out of your home overseas, losing a job, none of this should rob you of this joy. Listen, there's only one thing that could rob you of this joy, and that would be to reverse the resurrection. That's the only thing that should rob you of this always joy, this ever-present, never-ceasing joy, is to reverse the resurrection. That's the only thing that could steal your joy, is if Jesus was no longer risen and reigning right now. Our joy, remember, it's not tied to our ever-changing circumstances. Our joy is tied to our never-changing Christ. I don't need to have everything to go my way to have joy. I shouldn't have to have coffee in the morning to have joy. I shouldn't have to have my team win in the NCAA tournament to have joy. I shouldn't have to be more productive that day to have joy. I shouldn't have to have a raise to have joy, or have an easy marriage, or have perfect kids, or have good health, or have more money, or have more sleep, or have a better car, or a better tractor. I shouldn't have to have any of this to have more joy. All I need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals joy. Not just when you came to faith in Christ, but every day after, simple faith in Jesus and overwhelming joy because of Jesus. Well, brothers and sisters, if we in this moment could pull back the curtain of heaven, if we could look into glory this very second, there is a risen Savior reigning over us right now. The reality is there is a risen and reigning Savior reigning over us right now. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you are in life, if you're in chains in a prison cell, or you're lying peacefully in a bed forgiven, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, because Jesus, our Savior, is alive, and he is alive forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, fill our hearts with this gospel joy. This gospel joy that comes out of simple faith in Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask that anybody here today who maybe, Lord, spends time looking at how strong their faith is or how fragile their faith feels, Lord, that they would turn away from themselves and they would look to Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not about what we do. It's completely about what Jesus has already done for us. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just do this once when we come to faith in Jesus, but Lord, that this simple faith in Jesus alone every day, this simple faith in Jesus alone every single day would fill us with joy. That we would rise up in the morning, Lord, saying, satisfy us this morning with the steadfast love of Jesus, that we might rejoice and be glad all day long. And that, Lord, we would go to bed at night, laying our heads on our pillows, knowing, Lord, that all our sins are forgiven. And it has nothing to do with what we have done. And it completely rests on the finished work of Jesus. Lord, give us that simple faith, that simple peace that comes through Christ and Christ alone. That fills up our hearts, even in this morning. Holy Spirit, would you stir up our hearts with resurrection joy? Lord, that we might rejoice in our homes, that we might rejoice in our church, but Lord, even more so, that in this city and to the ends of the earth, people might see joy in Jesus. Lord, for your glory and for our joy, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.